Good morning.
So good to see all of you out this morning. Thank you, Marguerite, for that prelude. And you know, we're blessed with a lot of wonderful music talent here in this church. We've got John over here getting ready to play drums. We have Danny here playing bass guitar and running all the technical equipment at the same time. She's a multitasker. And of course, we have Dale in the background there playing piano and guitar. So we're really blessed and so fortunate to have this talent among us. Well, thank you for joining us this morning as we continue to offer our service in person, online, and from our church parking lot. And for those of you who have not come back to the sanctuary, we hope that you will feel comfortable in doing so real soon. You know, there's just something special about worshiping here in this place with our Bethany family. Amen? Yes. Let's ask God to bless our time together. Lord God, we come this morning to worship you and to declare that you are our Lord and Father in heaven. We praise you for your wonderful deeds and for making us part of your kingdom. Thank you for your presence, and that your presence is always with us, and that you love us unconditionally. We come to proclaim the gift of salvation and to thank you for rescuing us from our sins. May our praises rise to you and glorify your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Our first two songs remind us of the importance of praising God each and every day. We are thankful for all the blessings that he bestows upon us. The lyrics of the first song were written in 2003, while the second song, a classic hymn, was written in 1873. Now you talk about a staying power, that's pretty good. Well, they both provide the perfect medium to worship our Father in heaven. Please stand for Holy is the Lord, followed by Blessed Assurance.
One, two, three, four. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now, how great, how awesome is he, and together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, the earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now, how great, how awesome is he, and together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, the earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, the earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. It is rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. And together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Holy, holy. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Holy, holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Filled with His glory, the earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
I had to stop and get a little oxygen and put my mask back on. Please be seated. Do you struggle with everyday living? It may be a problem at work, dealing with a difficult boss or coworkers. It may be relationships at home with a spouse or loved ones. It may be mental and physical fatigue. Or it may be the stress of the pandemic and the fear of the unknown. Whatever it is, I'm here to tell you that we have a God who cares about us, who loves us, and who will never leave us. And it is through a personal relationship with Him that we can overcome the challenges of this world as we proclaim, Lord, I need You.
Thank you.
I did want to mention that if you have prayer concerns that you want to share, particularly those who are listening from home or out in the parking lot, be sure to text the number 540-495-0501. So now, even though we can't hug or have handshakes, let's take a few moments to greet your neighbors out there. Help yourself.
Good morning. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for the children's message this morning. Hi, good to see you this morning. I was going to play a song for you, but I don't have any power on my CD player. You have any ideas about what I could do to make it work? Plug it in. You are so right. Because if you want it to work, you gotta plug it in. And I just happen to have a plug right here. And well, okay, let's see. So I haven't. No, that's the.
It's a CD.
It's a CD. Yeah. Okay. There we go. So now it's working, right? It's working because I plugged it in. Well, our scripture this morning is about how Jesus is the vine and we're the branches, and so I think the way to think about it is, you know, it's good to be the branches, but it's also like, imagine that Jesus is the power source and we're like the CD player, right? If we don't plug in to the power source, then we don't do as much as we could do if we were plugged in, right? Because once you plug in, it's good. It plays. It does what it's supposed to do. But if you're cut off, just like if you cut the branch off from the tree, is it going to grow leaves? No, it definitely is not. It needs the tree. And the boombox needs the power, and we need Jesus. So when we have a relationship with Jesus, we're plugged in, and we can do more and be better when we do that. Well, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who through you gives us power and energy to do more than we ever thought we could do. Amen. And you guys can go to Children's Church and don't trip over the cord.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from John 15, verses 1 through 8, and this is a responsive reading, so please join me. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit.
You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you.
Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned.
If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you.
My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, just a couple of words of announcement. We are having communion this morning, and you should have gotten the elements all prepackaged together. And so after the last song, we will I'll do the liturgy for communion. And then we are now allowed to remove our masks in the sanctuary and eat the wafer, drink the juice, and then put our masks back on. So we can all do that together. So baby steps, baby steps. Let us pray. Gracious God, we have heard your words. We have heard, Lord, that you are the vine grower. Lord, help us to grow in you. Help us to abide in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be connected to you, our source of life. Amen. At our last parsonage, at the back of the property, there was a fence, and there was beyond the fence a field. And in where we live now, in our current parsonage, there is a fence. And on the other side of the fence, there's a field. But that's about where the similarities between the two end, because where we live now, you know, it's a nice, well-kept-up fence, which is good, because there's a pasture on the other side, and there are cattle grazing in the pasture. At the house we lived in King George, the field was just sort of wild. Maybe it got mowed once a year, but it was weedy and nothing grazed in it except the occasional deer passing through. And on the fence, which was falling down, there was a grapevine, a wild grapevine. I mean, it ran the whole length of the fence and it grew up into the tree. But one thing about that grapevine is that it never had any grapes on it. It was a wild vine, untended, untrimmed, and it produced no fruit. Well, Jesus tells us that God is the vine grower and the vine tender, the one who prunes and trims the vine so that the branches grow fruit. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And I'm not an expert on grapevines, but the one thing I know is that grapes do not form on new growth. you have to have old growth. The vines have to be at least a year old before they'll produce grapes. And so usually in a vineyard, they prune back the new growth in late winter or early spring so that they will have grapes rather than just vines. So God tends the vines and its branches, and Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches, and so we are supposed to produce the fruit, and we are supposed to be fruitful. Well, as I was thinking about this, I also read something this week that talked about how we like things that are familiar. It's how we are made, right? I mean, I think that probably kept us out of danger. When something was familiar, when we knew it, we knew what was going to happen. And we knew whether it was safe or whether it was dangerous. And there's also something in our brains, the way our brains function, that helps us relate to what we know already. And there's a certain part of our brain that maps musical patterns. And so we like music that we've heard before. We like styles of music that we've heard before. Because there's our brain maps the chord progressions and the harmonies. And so, like when you hear the chords of a Bruce Springsteen chorus that you've heard before, your brain recognizes it and releases, and I don't know, you know, Buddy Holly, I'm not sure who else, what other musicians to say, but when your brain recognizes that chord pattern, it releases a little bit of dopamine and you get a little thrill from it, a little happiness. And so when you don't recognize a musical pattern, when it seems totally alien and foreign to you, then your brain releases a bunch of dopamine and the sound comes across as unpleasant or bad. And nowhere was that more apparent than on May 29th, 1913, at a performance of a new ballet. It was called The Rite of Spring. It was choreographed by Nijinsky, and it was performed by the Ballet Russe in Paris. And so Igor Stravinsky had written a new music for this ballet, and it was kind of different. And so as the orchestra begins to play, as the ballet is about to open, the audience hears this music, and they start to laugh. Doesn't sound like anything they've heard before. And Stravinsky is in the audience, and he is insulted. He gets up, and he goes backstage and listens to the rest of it from there. But the people continue to laugh. And then they start to get upset. They start to get angry. They start to throw things. And a riot breaks out. The police have to come and take people away. Through this whole thing, the orchestra continues to play, the dancers continue to dance, but it was not considered a success. In fact, Puccini, who was another composer, called the score of the music the work of a madman, sheer cacophony. But what was described as noise, not long after that playing of The Rite of Spring, would later be recognized as the most important musical work of the 20th century. But at the time, it was so new that people didn't really even hear it as music. And if you've ever watched Disney's Fantasia, you've heard some of parts of the Rite of Spring. It's there's two pieces from that ballet that are used as music in that animation. But when it was so new and so different, it was really jarring to people. We usually don't like change, especially if we have no control over it. And maybe it's not about change all the time. Maybe people don't resist change so much as they resist loss. And in this last year, we have lost a lot. And perhaps being pruned doesn't sound so great either. I mean, they say, you know, the vine grower is going to prune the branches, you know, For plants, we can think of pruning as a kind of focus. The vine grower refocuses the energy of the plant that it gets from the sun and the soil and from water and refocuses it from growing bigger vines to producing grapes by pruning it back. This vineyard, the vine grower that Jesus says we're a part of, it has a long history in the Bible. The metaphor of the vineyard is used multiple times in the Old Testament. It's in Isaiah, and it's in Jeremiah, and it's in Ezekiel. God plants and tends the vineyard, but in Isaiah, it yields wild grapes or inferior fruit. And that becomes a metaphor for the disobedience of Israel and Judah and their defection as they go towards worshiping other gods. And so in each of these cases, Israel is the vine and supposed to be the source of good fruit, but produces bad fruit. In the Old Testament, fruitfulness and faithfulness were the same thing. And so God ends up replanting the vineyard with new stock, with a new vine, with the true vine, with Jesus Christ. And so Jesus himself embodies the new Israel. And he is God's chosen one, the one through whom the whole world will be saved, the one whom we become the branches of. Now, for most churches, this past year has been a season of severe pruning. Don't get me wrong, I don't think this pandemic is a punishment from God, but rather I think it has been, or should be, a wake-up call to the church. And you know what a wake-up call is, right? A heart attack can be a wake-up call. Someone might know that it would be a good idea to stop smoking and lose weight or start exercising, but knowing that something is a good idea and doing something about it are two different things. And so if a person has a heart attack, then suddenly doing those things that are helpful, like quitting smoking and exercising, suddenly they seem like a really good idea. They seem like survival. But change is hard. Change is difficult. And that kind of change, we call it adaptive change because we have to change our behavior, is the hardest kind of change of all. Our heart attack survivor has built up a lot of habits around smoking and not exercising. And people start smoking for a lot of reasons, to look cool or for that little jolt from the nicotine or, you know, for the comfort that comes with the routine and the ritual. And even if you've never smoked, you probably know that quitting would be a painful change, because it requires a new way of living, a new way of, well, doing things from day to day. Now think about the 8th chapter of Mark. Jesus explains to his disciples what it means to be the Messiah. Now, no one in history had more authority than Jesus had with his disciples right then. They have seen him do miracles. They have seen him heal people. They have seen him feed people by the thousands. They have heard God say, "You are my son." He's had a lot of affirmation. He has authority with them. And even Peter says, "You are the Messiah." And then Jesus explains to them that he must suffer and die and rise in 3 days. And how do the disciples react? They say, "Jesus, you're wrong. You are wrong. That's just wrong." And that's how hard it is to really do adaptive change that makes you change the way you think and the way you act, the way you think. Jesus himself has all this authority, and he tries to explain what's going on to them, and they tell him he's wrong, because it would have been too painful to recognize that he was right. Everything that happens leading up to the crucifixion and beyond will cause a radical upheaval in everything they know. And they're going to change. They got to have a reason to change. The pandemic just gave the church a heart attack. Not Bethany. I'm talking about church, like church everywhere. You can say I'm wrong, but like it or not, the world has changed, and it's not going to change back. What are we going to do with our wake-up call? We can't meet this challenge by just starting a few new programs. Everyone needs to work together to adapt and experiment and dream and discover new ways to be church. But here is the good news. The most important things have not changed. Jesus, the vine, has not changed. We might live in a changed landscape, but God, the vine grower, has not changed. We can still be a branch, and we can still be fruitful and faithful, well grafted into the source of life and creativity, and we can thrive in this new reality. But we have to think about what it means to abide in a changed world where church happens online and in the sanctuary and in the parking lot. We need to ask ourselves, how do we make connections and become community in a world where people are more technologically connected and yet more isolated and lonely than they have ever been in human history? The challenges are immediate, but the power of God is greater, greater than these challenges. We need to pray about what comes next. I know most of you know that in 2 months, I will be gone, and you will have a new pastor. But that doesn't change the mission. I will be going to a church that faces the exact same challenges that we are facing here at Bethany. And we'll be doing the same work that you are called to do, and that your new minister is called to do. But we do it together. And we do it for that purpose, so that we can connect others to that life-giving force, to that energy that comes from God, that saves our lives, that makes us whole. May we, as disciples of Jesus, the true vine, embrace our role as branches, channels of God's grace, and may we bear much fruit, not just so that we will survive, but so that the whole world will want to know the source of the life and grace that is in us, that they will want to know the vine grower for whom all things are possible. Amen. Yes. Oh, thank you. Well, we have a few announcements. We are going to be recognizing our graduates on May 23rd. So if you know a graduate, and please let the office know. We're going to do some video things, and we want to recognize them on the 23rd. Also, reminder, we want to do a card shower for Helen Figgins' 93rd birthday. So if you get a chance and haven't done it already, send her a card. And we are having a council meeting May 4th at 6:30. And one of the things we're going to be discussing, so they came out with some new guidelines from the conference. And so one of the things that we will be able to do is sing in the sanctuary with masks on if we're vaccinated. So then one of the questions we want to talk about at council is, do we want to move the service back outdoors? You know, we've got the weather to contend with on one hand, but now you can go to an outdoor service without a mask on. You can't sing without the mask on, but you can go to the service. But you can wear a mask outside and sing. So, and I have a feeling that things are going to change even more and more rapidly. So if you have strong opinions on what you think, good, bad, or otherwise, you can let me know or let Cindy know or let somebody on the council know, or you can come to council and tell us all about it on Tuesday, May 4th at 6:30. So we are in an ever-shifting landscape. Do we have any other announcements? And I'm going to check and just see if anybody has texted anything in. I don't think they have. And no. One person we want to be in prayer for, Kathleen Stump was supposed to be our praise leader this morning. She asked Randy to substitute for her. Both of her dogs were hit by a car last night, and both of them died. So keep Kathleen and her family in your prayers. You know how our pets really become a part of our family. So I know that's very upsetting for her. Do we have any other prayer concerns? Well, let us pray. Divine Creator, you are the vine grower and the vine. You are the one who connects us to one another. You are the one who sustains us. This morning, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us a vision of how to live and lead into a changed and changing world. You know that we don't love change, and we already feel like we have lost a great deal. But Lord, give us hope in what we have regained. Give us hope and renewed energy and the vision to go forth in strength as we move forward, as we are the church in a strange landscape. Lord, we pray this morning for all of those who are in need of healing. We pray for those who feel broken, whether it is in body or in spirit. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones, and we ask that you give them hope and the promise of the resurrection that brings new life. Lord, we come to you, and we know that you are the giver of abundant life. And so, Lord, help us to lean into that abundant life and to celebrate it and to share it. Lord, all this I pray In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, and let us stand as we're able, and we're going to sing softly, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Seated. We're going to conclude the service today with Holy Communion. Lift up your hearts and give thanks to God. Blessed are you, O God, who with your word and Holy Spirit created all things and called them good. In Jesus Christ, your word, your love became flesh and dwelt among us. Through Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection, you created your church and destroyed the power of death forever. You raised from the dead the same Jesus who now reigns with you in glory, making us the people of your new covenant. On the night before meeting death, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and said to his disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is given to you. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these elements. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be renewed as the body of Christ in the world, redeemed by Christ's blood, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at your table forever. The body of Christ given for you. The cup of Christ poured out for you. And now pray with me the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us partake of the meal that has been prepared for us. If that feels a little weird to you, it feels a little weird to me too. And now, as we prepare to go forth, may you go forth knowing that you are part of the body of Christ. You are part of something amazing and life-giving. Share it with the world. Amen.